Greetings, everyone, and welcome to the Law Hour and Editorial Review. The Law Hour is sponsored by the Gordon Law School of Isabella, Missouri. The Law Hour is an educational service in the public interest. I'm your narrator, George Gordon. The Law Hour and Editorial Review is heard nationally 7 days a week here in the United States and in more than 75 countries around the world over the Internet. For more information about the Law Hour and Editorial Review, please visit our webpage at georgegordon.org. Again, that's georgegordon.org. The Law Hour and Editorial Review brings you important information about law, news, and current events, so stay tuned for tonight's special report on antibiotics when we come back. You know, those who already walk submissively will say that there's no cause for alarm, but submissiveness is not our heritage. The First Amendment was designed to allow rebellion to remain as our heritage. And our Constitution was designed to keep government off the backs of the people. The Bill of Rights was added to keep the precincts of belief and expression of the press, of political and social activities free from government surveillance. That's a direct quotation. I wished I'd have thought of that. But that quotation came from Supreme Court Justice William O. Douglas. Now, you know, our princes and politicians beller in the halls of Congress for more taxes, more spending, and more gun control, but you and I haven't heard anything intelligent come out of a politician's mouth in more than 75 years now, have we? You know, that's why I contend that the only real reason, logic, or common sense left in America comes out of our courts. It doesn't come from our political process, or from our politicians, or our lawyers, or bureaucrats. Old Mayor Rothschild summed it up with a flair when he said, "You give me the money power, and I care not who makes the laws." Well, let me echo that by saying, "You give me the judicial power, and I care not who makes the laws either," because the real power in America is in our courts. It's not in our politics. Now, if you'd like to tap into this power of the courts, why don't you call us here at the law school? The number is 417-273-4967. Again, that's area code 417-273-4967. Be sure to ask for my free general law CD package while you're at it. It's a four-hour commentary on the law school, and it's entertaining, educational, it's informative, and best of all, it's free of charge. Now, courtroom strategy and procedure, our school is available on compact disc for adult home education. And if you're online, you can go to our website, georgegordon.org. That's georgegordon.org. Just click on the email. Send us an email request for that free general law CD package. Again, georgegordon.org or call direct 417-273-4967. All right, we're talking about antibiotics, or worse, what antibiotics don't do to the superbugs that are beginning to infect our hospitals. That's right. It's the hospital that is the incubator for these superbugs, the place that you want to go when you're sick. Everybody wants to go to the hospital when they're sick. Well, the author made an observation here when he visited the Walter Reed Army Hospital in 2004 to write about anesthesia on the front lines. And as I spoke with an Army sergeant who had survived a brutal attack in Najaf, U.S. Senator John McCain and talk radio host Don Imus came into the room to thank him for his service. When we walked out, McCain's assistant whipped out a bottle of sanitizing gel and passed it around. A nurse explained to me, it's this bug that grows in the soil over there and gets blown into their wounds by these IEDs. These poor guys are covered with it. Around here, we call it Arachibacter. Rumors were circulating at the hospital that insurgents dosed their homemade bombs with the flesh of dead animals. Now, I mentioned that to you in the last program. The insurgents over there are using the same medieval war tactics of bacterial warfare that they used in the Middle Ages when they would take sick, diseased corpses, people who had died from the bubonic plague or from some other infectious disease. This is back before they even knew what a bacteria was. Nobody had invented a microscope. Nobody knew that there were these little microorganisms. They just knew that when you got close to people that were sick, this sickness passed on to other people. That when people were sick and you went in to visit them, you came out and you got sick. It's what we call contagious disease today. So they observed that and said, here's a neat trick. Let's take these dead bodies, put them into the catapult, and fling them up over the wall, and introduce this into the population that we're trying to subdue. Oftentimes it worked. Didn't hurt, and oftentimes it helped. Now, the Iraqi insurgents are taking a page out of medieval warfare. And we, at least here in the United States, think of biologic warfare as being something new and modern that comes out of the laboratory, like anthrax. Oh, no, kids. This has been going on for thousands of years, for crying out loud. Yeah, it's been going on for a long time, and it's being used with some effect, I don't know, great effect, but with some effect by the Iraqi insurgents. Now, nearly 4 years into the war, the notion that deadly bacteria is lurking in the Iraqi dirt is still proposed by DOD officials as the most likely explanation for the military infections. In November, Dwayne Hospenthal, an infectious disease expert at Brooke Army Medical Center in Texas and a consultant to the Army Surgeon General, said, "The question really has been, is it coming from these old facilities we're using in Iraq? Is it coming from some of the Iraqi patients we have? Is it normal flora for our deployed soldiers who have been there for a while? Or is it being blown into them from shrapnel, dirt, and other materials by these explosive devices?" Hospenthal added that he believes there is little cause for concern. It's a low-grade, low-virulence pathogen that can be recovered from soil and water without having it blasted into you or you're being immunocompromised. It's not going to hurt you. You know, if you're not immunocompromised, it's not going to hurt you. We still see the scene to Bacter, but now that it's been recognized, people are less excited about it here. It's hard for me to even understand if this is a big issue. It is true that many species of this scene to Bacter flourish widely in the environment. Thriving colonies have been recovered from soil, cell phones, frozen chicken, wastewater treatment plants, formica countertops, and even irradiated food all over the world. Oh my God, I had to underline that one. Irradiated food. Hey, isn't this irradiation being touted now as the cure-all? It's going to solve all of our problems. You know, anytime big business wants to do something, they come to us and they say, this is going to solve the problem. This is going to solve your problem. Every time they want to sell you something, they come along here and they tell you want to solve your problem. Until later on, we find out that it kills 50,000 people, you know, like certain drugs, you know, that come out of pharmaceuticals. Or like this irradiation, you know, one of these days they'll come up with pasteurization was another cure-all. See, we had dirty milk back in 1900. So rather than clean up the milk, we said, well, let's go ahead and sell dirty milk, but let's pasteurize it so we can kill the bacteria that's in it. So it's true. We're not dying from bacteria-borne diseases in the milk. See, we're dying from degenerative diseases caused by the pasteurized milk. And we're dying in greater numbers from the pasteurized milk than we ever died from back in 1900. But you see, none of that ever makes the news because that's not what big business wants you to hear. They don't want you to know that. Now, we know that behind the scenes, we can get these reports. We can put the factors together. It's kind of like I've reported, you know, on iatrogenic disease. It is the dirty little secret in all hospitals and medical facilities that doctors kill 130,000 people a year. Now, you know, let's put that in perspective. You people went ballistic over 58,000 people being killed in Vietnam. Remember that? And you people are going ballistic over 3,000 being killed in Iraq. Why those numbers pale to insignificance. Think of it. 60,000 people. If you take all the war dead from Vietnam and Iraq and Afghanistan, lump them all together, you got half as many people dead as are killed by doctors and hospitals and clinics every single year that they admit to and lie about, but they at least admit to that number. And it's got to be two or three times that. It always is in every other aspect of life. So I would say that we're facing a pretty serious opponent here. Pretty serious because there's two or three chapters in the Bible, Revelation 6, Leviticus 26, and Deuteronomy 28, that zero in on this plague thing. And actually tells you how many people he's going to kill with it. One-fourth, 25% of humanity now. So I think that it's time for some of us, you know, this two or three of you out there, you know, there's not going to be any great movement here, I can assure you of that. But remember I mentioned to you in the last program, there is something you can do. It's called natural antibiotics, of which garlic is the chief. And there's a fellow by the name of Schultz, Dr. Schultz. And this guy Schultz puts out a catalog. I'm looking at his 2006 catalog. 27th year, it says. Schultz, the thing that impressed me about Schultz is that he was a student of Dr. Christopher. Christopher was the preeminent herbalist in America until he died, you know, some hell, he's been dead for probably 20 years now. He's been dead a long time. I don't know if it's 20 years, but it's been quite a long time. Well, anyway, this guy, Dr. Schultz, is one of his students. We studied with him. Picked up on it. So he puts out a catalog, and in this catalog he has a number of natural remedies. Now Schultz is a vegan. He's a vegetarian. And he's opposed to eating meat. So if you're a meat eater over there, I would suggest that you listen to Schultz, keeping in mind that there are certain meats that are prescribed in the Bible. And I'm not sure that Schultz goes by the scripture, by any stretch of the imagination. You may or may not take it for what it's worth. I eat meat. But that doesn't mean that I think Schultz doesn't know what he's talking about. Schultz has got a hell of a program. And when you get an incurable disease, there are natural remedies that you can use. When penicillin doesn't work, and here's my point. Kids, you can forget about antibiotics with these superbugs. They're not going to work. So now what are you going to do? And the answer is Schultz has got an answer for them. He's got an incurables program. When you have a disease that's incurable, then there's a natural solution that either comes out of the Bible or comes out of an herb that is was created by God, like garlic, that will cure that malady, in case you didn't know. Now, there's another one over here called The Utter Truth About Colostrum, put out by William E. Frazier, who's a naturopathic doctor. He's an ND. And colostrum is an immune builder, your immune system builder. It's called bovine colostrum. And I have both of those here. So I have colostrum, and when I'm feeling kind of poor, in fact, you know, 2-3 times a year, I fortify my intestinal bacteria with colostrum. I get a cow comes fresh, you know, and then the first milk that comes out of a cow is called colostrum. A calf has to have that in order to develop the digestive bacteria that they need in their gut. And so when they don't have that, they become unthrifty. So if a lot of you people out there are unthrifty and you're sick and your immune system doesn't work, what you need is some colostrum. That's the bottom line. That's the God-ordained natural modality. Now, of course, it doesn't make any money for the pharmaceutical industry, so they don't promote that kind of thing. Furthermore, the pharmaceutical industry and medical profession do not promote good health. And that's because there's no money in good health any more than there's money in peace. That's why we have a lot of war and a lot of sickness, because that's where the money's at. The money is in war, and the money is in disease, sickness. So we have a lot of that, and we don't have much in the way of good health. So let me give you the sources for these two books. First of all, Schultz. He's got a telephone number. It's 1-800-HERB-DOC, 1-800-H-E-R-B-D-O-C. I don't know what that translates into in the form of a telephone number, but 1-800-HERB-DOC will get you Schultz's telephone. You probably won't talk to him, but here's the number here. It's 1-800-437-2362. 1-800-437-2362. It's called The American Botanical Pharmacy. And this book here, just looking at it, it's probably about, I don't know, 50 pages. Let me see if I'm right. Page 66. 66 pages. It's a catalog. And it talks about various cures. You know, when you get sick and you need a cure, the first place you want to go is to the doctor. You want to go to somebody that's got real medicine. Now, my report this week is that your real medicine doctor over here is telling you, I can't cure that. Okay, now what are you going to do? Okay, now you can fall back to your secondary position. And the secondary position here is Dr. Schultz, who can cure it. How's that? Because there's a natural cure for just about every disease. I say just about. I don't know of any that can't be cured. Now, there's a second book over here. In case you're wondering, I've done some reports in the past on colostrum. Now, here's a book. See how many pages are in this one. Came across my desk. It's 104 pages. And then it's written by a guy named William E. Frazier called The Utter Truth About Colostrum. I don't know where it came from, probably Barnes & Noble or somebody. Let's see, where is it published? First edition is October of 2001. This book is going to be about as popular as AIDS at an office Christmas party. So however many books were published in that first printing over there is probably about as many books as is ever going to be published on the subject of colostrum. I don't see a publisher in here, and I haven't got a clue as to where you're going to get one of these. Hang on, there's going to be just a second. Let me see if I can find one. Well, for information or letters, his address is William E. Frazier, P.O. Box 1550, Lake City, Florida, 32056. You might get a copy if you can't get it at Barnes & Noble. Write to Bill Frazier, F-R-A-Z-I-E-R, P.O. Box 1550, Lake City, Florida, 32056. Now, this tells you what colostrum does and how it rebuilds your immune system. And when you've got these incurable diseases, remember, what is it that fights off or cures this incurable disease, this, they call it Acinetobacter bacilli. It's your immune system. Acinetobacter bacilli is cured by your immune system. How do you rebuild your immune system? It's bovine colostrum. So simple as it. All right, so there's that story. Don't like to tell people a problem unless we've got a solution. So if you can't cure the problem, you don't need to know what the problem is. And remember, good old John McCain now, he comes out of this soldier's room, and he's washing his hands. He doesn't need to wash his hands after he comes out of the soldier's room. He needed to wash his hands before he went into the soldier's room. If your immune system is up and functioning and you're a normal, healthy person, these bacteria can't bother you anyway because your immune system will kill them. So the real cure is your immune system, and the way you rebuild your immune system is colostrum. Now, if they would give every one of those soldiers coming back from Iraq a pint of colostrum and feed them the colostrum, their immune systems would be built and probably solve the problem. Now, that's too simple, and I don't want to write a letter here and tell these people the answer to this, because they'd be all over me like flies on stink for practicing medicine without a license or something. So we don't want to do that. I just want to pass the information on. If it appeals to you, there it is, and if it doesn't, let it lay. Well, anyway, these immunocompromised people. Now, when you get immunocompromised, that means that you've got AIDS. Your immune system isn't working correctly. And when it isn't, then you're susceptible to these superbugs for which now the magic penicillin no longer works. Lenny Dijkshoen, a senior researcher at Leiden University Medical Center in the Netherlands, has studied the bug since 1984. And my colleagues and I have been looking for Acinetobacter baumannii in soil samples for years, and we haven't found it, she says. These organisms are quite rare outside of hospitals. Let me underline that. These organisms are very rare outside of hospitals. The place where this thing really gets its virility is in the hospital. Now, they got another disease that comes out of these hospitals. Now, this is very, very rare, but they've got a bacteria now that just consumes your flesh, just eats it off there like piranha fish in the Amazon River. And they don't have any solution to that either. They don't know what the hell to do for that. And so their bacteria fighter, penicillin and so on, doesn't work. And here again, if they'd use some natural, I don't know if anybody's ever thought about the natural antibiotics like colostrum and garlic and herbs. I know it's kind of weird and wild, you know, but I wonder if anybody's ever thought of that. Well, Schultz thought of it, Christopher thought of it, God thought of it, and it's revealed. Did you know that there are 32 herbs mentioned in the scripture? Excuse me, oils, healing oils mentioned in the scripture, 32. Now, there's over 150 of these healing oils. Just thought I'd share that with you. And these oils are also bactericides, of which there's a number of these oils, and I did a series of programs here on healing oils of the Bible. Go back to our archives and take a look at that. You might want to have one of those healing oil kits. You know, you get one of these. You get one of these bacteria, one of these bugs, and nothing works, and the doctor says, geez, we don't know what we're going to do about this. And you can say, oh, it's okay, doc, don't worry about me. Go take care of these other patients over here. I'll go home, take care of myself. I know what to do about this. I'll take care of it. And then let him go out there and take care of all those people who don't know what to do for themselves. Healing oils of the Bible. So you got herbs, and you got healing oils, you got natural antibiotics such as garlic, and you've got colostrum. Well, there's four solutions to the problem. And hell, I'm just a crummy plumber. Never been to medical school. Never been to but I'm not brain dead and I can still read. Now there's more. Keep in mind now that these organisms are very rare outside of hospitals. In fact, they are supremely adapted to life in critical care facilities. They can survive for weeks on a stethoscope, a blood pressure cuff, a mattress, or a computer keyboard. The short, plump, rod-shaped bacilli are so adept at mining nutrients from recalcitrant sources that Israeli geneticists have engineered these strains to biodegrade oil spills, even before the bug evolved resistance to multiple antibiotics. It knew its way around a sponge and bucket. A Norwegian microbiologist noted in 1973 that disinfectant used to clean catheters in a gynecologist's lab contained a veritable culture of the strain. Oh my God, I got to underline this. Did you hear that, kids? Now listen, this bacteria is so virulent that in a doctor's office, this guy was a gynecologist's lab, and in the gynecologist's lab there are catheters, and they disinfect these catheters evidently by putting the catheters into some kind of a disinfectant solution. Got this? Let's picture this. We've got this thing and we want to sterilize it, so we pour in a bunch of Clorox and we put this stethoscope or this catheter or whatever we want to clean up, and we stick it in here, and then when they get all through, they find a veritable culture of the strain. God, no wonder they call them superbugs. All right, now these superbugs over here that your doctor can't kill and grow on his stethoscope and on his catheter, and that Clorox won't kill, there's a solution to this. So pay attention. This Hospin fellow also told me that the Acinetobacter has been recovered from the skin of those who have never been to war. We have swabbed non-deployed soldiers and found the bacteria in their toe webs and other parts of their bodies. The study he was referring to, however, published last July in the journal Infection Control and Hospital Epidemiology, pointed out that those organisms were genetically very different from the bacteria infecting men and women evacuated from Iraq. The Acinetobacter baumannii colonizing new enlistees in Texas was still susceptible to antibiotics. The organisms infecting veterans are highly resistant. All right. So the stuff we got here in the States is still treatable by antibiotics. So there's more than one strain of this bacteria, the superbug. And it's still treatable by conventional antibiotics. Now, we get over here to Iraq, in the medical facilities over here, and these bacteria have been exposed to antibiotics for so long in these super clean institutions like hospitals that they have mutated until today these these disinfectants, whatever they're using. I always thought that Clorox was so deadly that nothing could survive it. Well, there's another thing over here. Have you heard of mad cow disease? It's called Jacobs Creutzfeldt. And this Jacobs Creutzfeldt is some kind of an organism. We don't know exactly what this thing is, but they call it a prion. And this thing is so virulent that Clorox, 100% Clorox, won't kill it. And so they came to the conclusion that this thing isn't even organic. This thing isn't even living. This thing is some kind of a crystal. They don't know what the hell it is. But boy, is it deadly. Kills you every time. Never misses. So I just thought I'd pass that one on to you. Now, I'm not quite sure what kills prions, but maybe garlic, maybe colostrum. I'll tell you one thing. There's no better disease fighter than your own immune system. In fact, these disease fighters like penicillin and so on, they don't do jack diddly squat to cure you. And what they do is they kill off the bacteria in your body, and it gives your white corpuscles an opportunity to get ahead of the bad guy. Gives your immune system an opportunity to get ahead of. So when a guy comes off the battlefield, his immune system is squirreled. And then the infectious disease gets in there and gives him meningitis or something else for which now he dies. Now, if he could get his immune system up and running, now the more rapidly you can get your immune system cooking, then the easier it is for your body to ward off the disease. Because all of these diseases in the final analysis have to be warded off, have to be cured by your body's own immune system. Now, that's the way that game is played. So now that you know that, now all of a sudden Dr. Herb Doc over here ain't quite as stupid, is it? Because the herbs that he's going to give you is going to build your immune system. And the colostrum is going to build your immune system. So that's where I'm coming from. I'm sitting here saying, well, you know, it would be real good if we had this ace up our sleeve called antibiotics. I'd feel a lot better knowing that we had that ace up our sleeve. But now once we've been found out, and everybody here at the card table knows that old Gordon's got an ace up his sleeve, all of a sudden pulling that ace of spades out of my sleeve and sticking it into my royal flush isn't going to work, is it? All right, so now I've got to come up with another solution to this. Now I've got to have a more intelligent modality here. So when I have a cow come fresh, I collect the colostrum and I stick it over here in bottles and I put it in my freezer. And then I can use that colostrum throughout the year. And then if I come up with some kind of a bug, then I've got this colostrum over here to fortify my immune system. Then I've got Schultz's name and number and some of his herbal remedies over here. And then I've got a kit over here of these healing oils from the Bible. So I've got the healing oils. Then I've got the colostrum. Then I've got the herbs. And then I've got my one killer over here called raw garlic. Notice I'm using the word raw. Raw. See, most people don't know what raw food is. And they think that if it's cooked, it's pretty good. Well, if it's cooked, then you've destroyed the enzyme in the product. So garlic has a lot of neat little critters in there. And when you heat it above 132 degrees, you kill them. And then the active ingredient that you need to build your immune system and to cure you is gone. And that being the case, then you're dead on arrival. Now, there's one other neat little thing over here that's good for immune system or your immune system, and it's called raw milk. Raw milk. I know it's a dirty word, but I just wanted to throw it out there anyway. Raw, unpasteurized, unhomogenized milk. It is probably the single best food you can eat. And I produce it here, and I drink a lot of it, and I'm in pretty good health, and I recommend it highly. And I'm not really too concerned about these superbugs over here because I don't think the doctor could cure me if I had the superbug, but I think I could cure myself. Now, remember this one more time. You've got raw, unpasteurized milk. You've got colostrum. That's the first milk. You've got herbs, healing oils, and garlic. Now, that's five cures, five immune system builders to protect you against these superbugs. How do you like that? And keep this in mind, boys and girls. I'm just a crummy plumber, and I know of five right there. And let me give you a reminder that you're listening to the Law Hour, an editorial review sponsored by the Gordon Law School of Isabella, Missouri. The Law Hour is heard 7 days a week here in the United States, worldwide, over the Internet. If you'd like more information about the Law School and the Law Hour, please go to our website at georgegordon.org. Remember, the Law School teaches family law, tax law, courtroom strategy and procedure, business law, agricultural law, civil rights, and biblical law from the scriptural perspective. Now, the Law School is a private, non-commercial, non-profit, non-sectarian law school, and it is open to individuals by prearrangement. The Law School conducts a homeschooling program for adults on compact disc. If you'd like more information, please go to our homeschooling page on our website at georgegordon.org. The Law Hour website is updated every week. It has our radio log, schedule, and archives, and that can be accessed at the webpage as well. The Law Hour is carried worldwide over the Internet, and all of these Law Hour programs are archived on the Internet by title and date. The Law Hour is an educational service brought to you in the public interest. The Law Hour brings you timely reports on law, science, education, politics, religion, health, history, economics, news, and current events 7 days a week. The Law School offers a free 4-hour introductory CD package. Be sure to order one for yourself. The number to call, 417-273-4967. Once more, that's area code 417-273-4967. All right, the sources of information that we use on this program are true, accurate, and correct to the best of our knowledge and belief, and the law or an editorial review gives credit to those authors and publications that we use on this program. We even endorse and recommend books, periodicals, papers, and newsletters to our listeners. However, these endorsements or recommendations that we give do not mean that those authors or publications that we endorse or recommend are going to reciprocate. And that's because most of these authors and publications that we cite here on the Law Hour are hostile, political, religious, economic, sectarian, racial, or ethnic partisans whose viewpoint may not be totally endorsed by the Law Hour and editorial review. Now, these opinions, beliefs, comments, views, and expressions that you hear on this program are mine and mine alone. They don't necessarily represent the beliefs and opinions of our advertisers, the sponsors, the management, or the staff of this network or local radio station. For more information about the Law Hour and editorial review, please go to our website, georgegordon.org. That's georgegordon.org, or you can call us direct at 417-273-4967. All right, we're talking about the superbug. Now, I don't know exactly how to pronounce this superbug over here, but it's something called Acinetobacter, A-C-I-N-E-T-O-B-A-C-T-E-R. Baumannii, B-A-U-M-A-N-N-I-I. I guess that's about as close as you can get for a medical term like that. And I pointed out that there are five, not necessarily cures, but five immune system, yeah, I'm going to call them cures, five cures, five immune system builders that will cure these kinds of superbugs. These superbugs have now become immune to, they're immune to, penicillin and aeromycin, terramycin, dihydrostreptomycin, these various remedies, you know, that we've come up here, and we call these antibiotics. And now we're finding that we've got some bugs over here that are immune to these antibiotics, but they're not immune to your immune system. That's the kicker. Yeah, your white corpuscles and red corpuscles and the enzymes in your body and your thymus and your appendix and adenoids and tonsils, they're a part of a system that God has designed into your body, and it cures disease. So if you've got one of these diseases over here and you need a cure, not just a treatment, but a cure, then you need something over here besides antibiotics. And so raw milk. Notice not pasteurized milk. Don't go to the Kroger store now and get a gallon of that white death, because if you do, it isn't going to help you any and might even cause you harm. Now, that pasteurized milk over there is a killer. I wouldn't drink it. Now, one of these days, the American or the Mid-America Dairy Association or somebody's going to come sue me and say, well, we're going to get you like we got that Oprah Winfrey, you know. But since turn of the last century, 1900, we've got it in our heads over here that we know more about health than God himself. And so we got right after it. And they came up with some real neat ideas over here. This antibiotic is one of them. You see, antibiotics, in effect, give you the power, give you the ability to sell forgiveness of sin. And we haven't seen that since the Middle Ages when the Catholic Church was selling indulgences. But it works like this. You see, you go down to Flo's Whorehouse, and you get a dose of syphilis. And then you go to the doctor, and then Dr. Marcus Welby, he gives you penicillin, which knocks out the venereal disease. And so that's a heck of a neat deal. See, we can go down and we can violate the law that says thou shalt not commit adultery. We can get a dose of clap, which used to be fatal. Now it's just an obnoxious inconvenience, and we go down and we knock it out with penicillin, work like a shot. Now we're finding out that these bacteria can develop immunities themselves to these drugs, or these, I guess that's a drug, antibiotic. And so now we've developed these super bugs, and so I want to come along and tell you, well, there's some super killers over here called your immune system. And there are five ways here for you to build your immune system so that your immune system can knock out the disease. All right, going back here then to our story, in Europe, the multi-drug resistance in Acinetobacter is spreading through civilian hospitals, precipitating a public health crisis in 2003 and 2004. The epidemic hit more than 50 hospitals and long-term care facilities in France, making scores of patients sick, killing 34 people. 39 infected patients died at St. Mary's Hospital in London 2 years ago. British healthcare officials are deeply concerned about a possible link between the civilian outbreaks and the coalition troops carrying the bacteria home from Iraq. The United Kingdom's Health Protection Agency sent out a notice in 2003 asking doctors to submit samples of the Acinetobacter from patients known to have returned from Iraq or from patients on a ward where there have been Iraq returnees. They want them to send it to the lab for genotyping. 3 months ago, a health official in England told The Independent that the same strain of bacteria infecting troops had been implicated in at least three civilian outbreaks. Prime Minister Tony Blair recently announced that a major civilian hospital will open a ward just for military patients. Bacteria that know how to disable or block the efficacy of multiple drugs are highly educated organisms. They're typically the product of an environment where antibiotics are in frequent use, and they have downloaded genetic cheat codes from their resistant bacteria into their own DNA. Multi-drug resistant staph, for example, hijacked genes from a bug called Enterococcus that have made it resistant to vancomycin, the drug of last resort. Once a strain acquires these upgrades, Darwin's selective pressure weeds out the late adopters. So where are these highly educated military bugs coming from? Well, it would be very interesting, DeJorkshuhn says, to investigate the routing of these patients. Now, the first news that U.S. troops had engaged an unforeseen enemy in Iraq appeared on a physician's email. It was called ProMed on April 17, 2003. A communicable disease expert in the Navy named Kyle Peterson posted a request for information about unusual infections that he was seeing aboard the USNS Comfort, a 1,000-bed hospital ship off the coast of Kuwait. The Comfort was taking in 50 new patients a day by helicopter, many of them Iraqi civilians and prisoners of war. Peterson told the ProMed list that he had seen several cases of multi-drug-resistant Acinetobacter amongst Iraqi natives wounded by gunshot, shrapnel burns, or motor vehicle accidents. Reviewing the literature, he found reports of an outbreak in Turkish hospitals after an earthquake in 1999, which suggested to him that the Acinetobacter species are fairly common pathogens in traumatic wounds, especially if they're dirty. The bugs on the Comfort, however, were more resistant than the Turkish strains, he continued, and can anyone familiar with the soil biology of Iraq or the drug prescribing practices of the pre-regime medical system explain the severe drug resistance pattern that we're seeing among our trauma victims, medevaced from Iraq? Any comments would be greatly appreciated. So here's a researcher says, hey, listen, we need more information. And like all of these medical researchers and all of these pharmaceutical companies in the AMA, they promise these miracle results. Just march on polio. Just walk in the walkathon. Just send your dimes and dollars too, and we'll come up with a cure. And I haven't seen one yet for anything. I guess the last thing I shouldn't say anything. I guess the last thing that we got cured was polio, wasn't it? Boy, they won't make that mistake again. That was a real moneymaker. And all of a sudden, with a cure, nobody needs to give money to the March of Dimes anymore. And so now it's a dead letter issue. They learned their lesson well. We will study. We will look into. We will research mightily and diligently, but we will never come up with another cure. The bug's emergence on the Comfort made a tough job even tougher. Soon, however, the bug started popping up in other hospitals along the evacuation chain. More than 70 patients at Walter Reed eventually contracted Acinetobacter infections of the blood. Other infected patients and carriers surfaced at Lansdowne, Bethesda, and Ballard Air Base. The embarkation point for troops on their way out of Iraq. By early 2005, nearly one-third of the wounded soldiers admitted to the National Medical Center, Naval Medical Center, had been colonized by the bacteria. Did you get that? One-third. So let's take all of the people that are coming in here to this one location. Let me read this to you again. This Ballard Air Base, the embarkation point for troops on their way out of Iraq. By early 2005, one-third of the wounded soldiers, now get this, now this is one out of three, one-third of the wounded soldiers, admitted to the National Naval Medical Center had been colonized by the bacteria. So one out of three is carrying the bacteria. Now, if he's been crippled up pretty bad and his immune system isn't working very well, then he gets the disease. Now keep this in mind. I always want to tuck this away in your heart. Let's go into a crowded room. Some guy comes in here and he's carrying the flu. And he starts coughing and whining and wheezing and whining and he starts sneezing. Kerchoo, kerchoo, kerchoo. And the next day you come down with the flu. And you say, oh, it was that dirty guy that came into the party and he was sneezing and he gave me the flu. No, I didn't. No. You see, your immune system was so weak at that point in time that when he came in there coughing, wheezing, and sneezing, which his immune system wasn't working either. So you got two weak sickies in the room. This guy was sneezing in the room. Not everybody in the room gets the flu. Only the weakest people get the flu. People who get sick, boys and girls, are weak. Can you follow that? That's what they're telling you in this story. The people who are affected here are the weakest of the weak. People that have suffered from burns and traumatic injuries, their immune systems are weak. Well, then what does that tell you? When this happens, we want to be working on our immune systems. We want to be building our immune system. How do you do that? I've never heard a doctor ever say, oh my God, you got a disease, let's build your immune system. The only guys that I ever hear talking about immune systems over here, and let's build your body, let's make you impervious to these disease pathogens, is Schultz, or in this case over here, Frazier, or a few other health food nuts. So I just thought I'd weigh in there. It also comes from the Bible, comes from the Scripture. See, that's why you have Leviticus 11 and Deuteronomy 14 telling you what meats to eat and what meats not to eat, because certain meats weaken your immune system. They introduce pathogens. Pork introduces the trichinae worm. I don't know if that's the way to pronounce that exactly, but trichinosis comes from this trichinae worm, and you get it from pig. Not the only source that you can get it from, but it's a good source that you can get it from. That works on your immune system and weakens your body so that some opportunistic disease takes over and kills you. What happens here, nobody ever says, well, eating pig is what this guy died from. No, no, they put down here after they've done the autopsy on you. They say, oh, God, the guy died from pneumonia, meningitis. He had this infection over here, and we just couldn't control it. What caused the decrease in your immune response, kids? What caused your immune system to break down until it got to operating at a low level? Now, if your immune system's working at 100%, no disease can affect you. If it's working at 90%, maybe some can. At 80%, more. 70%, more yet. 50%, maybe quite a few. By the time your immune system's working at about 35%, maybe you're down to the point here where, shucks, anything can get into you. Anything can kill you. Nobody ever talks about immune response. Nobody ever talks about immune system. And the only guy that talks about that is God in the Bible, or Schultz, or Frazier, or some other health food nut over here who's trying to convince you people that you need to change your ways. I was watching 60 Minutes last night, and there was a guy on there, he's a lobbyist. And this lobbyist is working for the big manufacturers. And he's opposed to the government banning cigarettes, or city councils banning smoking in restaurants, and banning trans fats, you know, and stuff like that. And I listened to the guy's story over here, and couldn't help but agree with him. I agree with him to this degree. I'm not opposed to McDonald's selling Big Macs. There's a lot of you people out there that want to eat those Big Macs. And I'm not opposed to the pharmaceutical industry selling you poison over the counter and killing a bunch of you. You know, hell, that's a choice that people make. What I'm opposed to is I'm opposed to Big Pharma putting these drugs out here on the market and lying to you, telling you they're good for you when in fact they're deadly poisons. I'm opposed to that. Well, the thing I don't like about this big food industry and their campaign on labeling and their control of the FDA and of the Department of Agriculture and the various government agencies is that they want to sell me products that they don't have to label. And I think government does me a big service when they require that when you put out a can of soup, that you list on the can the ingredients that are in the soup so that people like me that don't eat pork can look on the can and say pork and beans. And I say, oh, terrific. Here's a can of Campbell's pork and beans. I am not opposed to pork. And I'm not opposed to all of you good pork people out there that want to eat pork. I'm opposed to the manufacturer who puts out the pork and beans and then says to me that I don't need to have a label on there that tells me that it's pork and beans. Or that there's genetically modified organisms. That's the latest one. See, they don't want to put on there, this product contains GMOs, although I noticed I got a package of cookies the other day. And on the cookies, it was Hershey cookies. Hershey's York chocolate mint cookies. God, they're just delicious. Organic, of course. I wouldn't eat anything that wasn't organic. So here's Hershey's York the cookies. And on the package, the Hershey people, who don't have any connection with organic, I'm sure, they put right on there, this product is manufactured on machines that deal with peanuts and trans fats and all kinds of other allergens over there, and warns people. You know, there are people that are allergic to peanuts. Did you know that? I know it sounds crazy, but there are people like that. And they're allergic to certain things that are pretty common, you know, used in the manufacturing process. God, I like that label. I'm not opposed to Hershey's turning out this crummy product that's called Hershey's double chocolate fudge or super duper Whopper York peppermint cookies. I think that's wonderful. They taste good. They're probably guaranteed to give you cancer and 10 packages or double your money back. But anyway, I'm just pointing out, the label's on there. You know, let the buyer beware. It just so happens that I'm not allergic to any of those things, so I went ahead and ate the whole pack. But it's good for you people, you know, that are allergic to peanuts and nuts and trans fats and all kinds of other things on there that they put it on there. Now, that's what I want. Well, anyway, this guy's on 60 Minutes, and he's over here, and he's opposed to smoking bans. And you know, you got all these do-gooders out there. He calls them do-gooders who are out here trying to promote the nanny state. The nanny state. Hell, I'm not opposed to you people going to hospitals. I'm not opposed to you people taking penicillin, antibiotics. By all means, do that. And if you don't want to take colostrum, herbs, or raw garlic, I don't care. Nothing to me. But in the public interest, you know, I think that somebody ought to come out and say, well, did you know that there was a solution to the superbug problem? Hell, they don't know what the answer to the problem is at the Center for Disease Control in Atlanta, Georgia, or else they wouldn't be writing this article, would they? Hell, if they had an answer to it, they wouldn't need to be telling you that there's a problem. All right, but now they tell us that there's a problem. So I thought, well, shucks, I'm just a crummy plumber, but I thought I'd tell you the answer. It's your immune response. That's the answer. And in order to build your immune system, you got to have something other than antibiotics. In fact, antibiotics actually work against your immune system. For instance, these antibiotics, they kill bacteria. Oh, God, they do. They kill bacteria. They just kill everything, good and bad. And then that poses a little problem for you later on, because now they've killed, the antibiotics have killed the intestinal flora in your body. And now you can't digest your food and you get other maladies. And you don't know what's wrong with you. You got allergies and one thing and another. Actually, what your problem is that your body's out of balance. And if you get that that flora and fauna, if you could get the toxins and poisons out of your body and get the good bacteria back into your body, build your immune system up, hell, you could have good health. I know it's a wild new concept, but you know, just good health would probably be in your best interest. So that's why I suggested colostrum and the Herb Doc over here. So let me tell you the answer to this again. It's 1-800-HERB-DOC. At least get the catalog. It's free. Hell, old Schultz, he wants to sell you this stuff. He'll send you the catalog for nothing. Doesn't cost you anything. Then you'll have it right there in front of you. And then when this comes down and you don't know what else to do, then you'll have a solution right here in front of you. That's why I keep old Doc Schultz's catalog in front of me all the time. The other one over here is called William E. Frazier. And the book is called The Utter Truth About Colostrum. It's a 100-page book over here. And it tells you all the answer. It tells you all the stuff that you ever wanted to know about colostrum, how it works that way, and why it's good for you. And why you want to avoid it, because it's good for you. I mean, if there's something good for you, you don't want it. If it's Jack Daniel's whiskey, we want more of that. If it's colostrum, God, get that away from it. Know what I mean? That's just human nature. It's the way people are. So this the second book over here, the guy's address is William Frazier, P.O. Box 1550, Lake City, Florida, 32056. Once more, that's P.O. Box 1550, Lake City, Florida, 32056. That's The Utter Truth About Colostrum. They'll tell you why that colostrum will build your immune system. Oh, here's the price, $10. $10. Now, about out of time again, I'm going to have to leave it right there and remind you that you are listening to The Law Hour, an editorial review. We'll pick it up right there next time. Remember, The Law Hour is heard 7 days a week here in the United States, worldwide, over the Internet. If you'd like more information about the law school and The Law Hour, please go to our website at georgegordon.org. The law school is a private, non-commercial, non-profit, non-sectarian law school that is open to individuals by prearrangement. The law school conducts a homeschooling program for adults on compact disc. Now, if you'd like more information, why don't you go to our homeschooling page on our website at georgegordon.org, georgegordon.org. The Law Hour is carried worldwide over the Internet, and all of these Law Hour programs are archived on the Internet by title and date. The Law Hour is an educational service brought to you in the public interest. Hey, our time's just about up. We're going to have to leave it right there, so let me remind you that you've been listening to The Law Hour, the editorial review. We'll see you back here tomorrow night, same time, same station. God willing, of course. So until then, good night, friends.